Hello, and welcome to the Woman of the Word Revelatory Points of Power podcast, as taught by the Reverend Dr. Audrey Akins, where we share revelatory concepts and biblical principles that may often inspire, challenge, and stimulate you to see God's Word from a deeper and sometimes different perspective. Now for today's word, here is our instructor, Dr. Audrey Akins.
Good evening. I'd like to bring to you a point of power, a revelatory point of power from our new series, It Becometh. What it is a definition. So I'm defining for you It Becometh and connecting signs, because there's so much meat in these definitions, these revelatory definitions. So I'm going to begin for you reading from Revelation 1, 1 through 3, paraphrasing it. God gave Jesus Christ the revelation to shew unto his servants as things he had ordained that must shortly come to pass as it became his word. Therefore Jesus sent as his angel of the Lord, went and he signified all that would follow as his signs that were to be connected unto his servant John. So Revelation, that whole entire book, is simply a revelation or a bunch of signs that God sent Jesus to give to John the Revelator, so that we could then, in studying his word, be able to connect the signs leading to his coming again. So therefore, John, as he received, he bare record of it. But he bore record not only of God's word that he received as Jesus' testimony, but of all that he showed him, because he enabled him in his vision to see the heavens and the earth, to see the New Jerusalem coming down, to see the great cloud of witnesses, to see all of these things. So he bore witness. He connected the signs himself in order to write the book of Revelation and then give it to us to be able to see and connect ourselves. So it says that he bore witness of God's word as Jesus' testimony, and all that he showed him in the process. And these were the signs that he was in turn to then turn and reveal to us as it became him as John the Revelator. Because you have to do what it is that God gives you as it becometh you, because nobody else can do it like you can. John was called the disciple that Jesus loved the best. Why? Because he had an intimate, loving relationship with Jesus. He felt closest to him. Therefore, it was easier to give him a revelation of all that he was, is, and is to be, so that he could then, in turn, feeling he really knew Jesus now to a higher level, take us on that journey as well as we begin to connect those signs. And then he ended this particular verse of scripture by saying, thus said Jesus, blessed is he that reads to hear these words of prophecy, so connects to keep these things written therein, for its time is at hand. So what does the word signified mean? Because it said that Jesus, as the angel of the Lord, went and signified these things to John. Signified in this particular scripture is semenio, meaning the Lord distinctively marks, lays out signs to make clearly evident, indicative, easily distinguishable. Therefore, we're expected to be able to connect them. Signifies also is a revelatory word, because it indicates to show, to imply, or to suggest greater meanings of, as signs to be connected, so to guide us to higher conclusions. You know, we need to learn to look up, you know, because the Lord is that rock that's higher than us. That means we have to strive to understand spiritual things. And in order to connect signs, you've got to reach higher. Jesus taught in Luke 21, 25 through 28, Jesus taught, it becometh us to rightly discern, so connect signs of his coming. He said, there shall be many signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and the earth shall fill with great distress in every nation, as men shall become filled with perplexity, and all shall see happenings begin all about them. So the Lord taught, the time will come when seas and the waves will be heard to roar, and men's hearts will be failing them because they'll fear these things that are reported as happening throughout the earth, even as the powers of heaven seem to be shaken. We have these things going on even now, but there's nothing new under the sun. Things were happening all along from the time John received this revelation. And he received it so deeply, so intensely, he felt that that time was now because the Lord said it was going to be shortly coming to pass. But shortly in God is not our time. Shortly in God is his time. It means the appointed time, the kairos that has been set, preordained. That's why we have to learn how to connect the signs so that we don't feel we're believing in vain. Because if these things all add up, if the pieces all fall in place, they establish a pattern shown to us from heaven. That's what signs are. They are those patterns that God shows us are from heaven, which is eternal. These are signs. These signs don't pass away. These signs are not temporal. These signs are not wishy-washy. They're not one thing today and another thing tomorrow, or depending on who's saying it or who's doing it. It's all of God. The Lord also taught in Luke 21, 25 through 28, that we shall all clearly see come to pass every sign God gives. They declare he, as the Son of Man, shall come again in a cloud with power and great glory. It shall surely come to pass, as should have already been connected as being the irrefutable truth of God, because all through God's word, he has planted signs that if we diligently study his word, we will see have been coming to pass continually and with a regularity that we are going to study in on the other side of this bridge in connecting the signs. Thus, learn how to discern now as it becometh us. Learn how to become connectors of his signs. Then, as all things begin coming to pass, as indeed they shall, we're destined to be used to turn around like John the Revelator did, to declare, lift up your heads, look up, fully anticipating our redemption, for surely it draws nigh as it becometh the Lord. I'd like to take a little time now to define for you what connecting signs means. Connecting means to seek to establish as being joined, linked, fastened together, intending to then unite those things, to lay them out as literally and figuratively able to come together, as being fully associated with our lives, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. That's what connecting is. Now, signs mean tokens, indicators, conveyors of messages or meanings of what objects, actions, events, and/or patterns are meant to say unto us. Spiritually, they are what we who have an ear to hear what the Spirit would say unto the church are given to hear and are revealed to then see. Scripturally, signs appears 53 times in the Word. 21 of those times it's found in the New Testament as simeon, meaning signifiers, These signs are God's signifiers. That's why many times when I give revelatory definitions, I say such and such a thing signifies. They are all signs that God gives out of the revelatory to be able to be connected. So spiritual signifiers are ceremonial. They're indicators. They're sent from God and thus supernatural in nature. They are God's revelatory tokens, having their basis in being seen as being miraculous, and are as such wonders revealed, speak to the according to of all that, which is all God. We can't figure out how these signs and wonders exist or come into being other than they're all connected. It's just like the word itself is a sign and a wonder. Because all of this, every concept I bring to you, if you look at it with a wider scope, it's all connected. It's all meant to lead us towards a point that God wanted revealed from the very time that he laid the foundations of the world and slay the lamb. These things that God uses are distinctively connected to be revealed when and as he wills. This usually occurs as he calls forth to use those highly underestimated, often despised, usually disdained, quite often rejected by men, those who are spiritually insignificant in the greater scheme of things or the religious scheme of things, yet God is glorified as they rise up, obedient to become as it becometh them, to become his shoes, his signs, as he enables them to do the miraculous, to be part of a miraculous work, so he can point to them as the sign that connects you to understanding God is real. The hand of the Lord is real. The way God would have me to go is real. His thoughts towards me are real. Many are the plans and devices of a man's heart, but God's signs, those are the things that prevail in this earth. Finally, 1 Corinthians 2:9. Declares this all that it declares this all that in God are simeon, are signs, those things that men's eyes have not seen, ears not heard, nor hearts imagined, yet must be spiritually discerned. That is a connecting of the signs by his spirit of revelation. You can't do it intellectually. You can't even do it experientially. It must be done revelatorily by his spirit of truth or his spirit of revelation, which giveth to us as it becometh him. That's what he was assigned to do. And he does it as it becometh him. Let me give you another scripture. Matthew 3:13-15. It tells us Jesus went from Galilee to Jordan, where he came unto John to be baptized of him. But when he did, John forbid him. He didn't want to do it, saying, Lord, I have need to be baptized by you, but you're coming to me? And what did Jesus say to him? He said, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Understand, only then in hearing the revelatory spoken to him, did John come up out of himself, look up higher than where he was, and connect the signs, therefore relent to personally participate in his destiny to baptize Jesus and make a distinctive difference. It's hard for us to connect signs that we are to personally participate in when we feel we're not worthy, when we feel God can't use me, when we feel like we're the little me. But that's because we've got our eyes down too low. In order to connect the signs, you must lift up your eyes unto the hills, when cometh your help. Mark 4:18-20 tells us Jesus taught, it becometh us all to connect the signs. This was in his parable of the sower. He taught, it becometh us all to connect the signs, which reveal he as the sower fully expects the word he invests in us, that we would remain liable to viably bear fruit of it, as good ground should. But in order to do that, we have to connect this sign. This is what believers need to do. This is the part of the scripture on the sower that talks to the believer. We have to, in verse 18 through 20, connect the signs of the enemy's thorns, the power that the enemy's thorns have in our lives. Those things come in, they are sown by the enemy, they are sown by people that are non-spiritual, they are sown by people from our past that want to judge us by where we've been and what we've done rather than by our heart as God does. They are things that are sown that come in and choke and crowd out and suffocate the word, so it becometh. You see, it becometh us, but it also, there are things that play upon or work upon the word so that it becometh seen as unfruitful in us. And the reason I'm bringing this to you is because we need to connect that sign that if we are doing things or allowing things to happen in our lives that are going to cause the word to seem as if it's unfruitful, that's an acceptable void in God's eyes. His word is not acceptable as going out and coming back to him void, as coming back choked, as coming back to have just to find that it couldn't bring things to pass in our lives or use us to do this, that, or the other because there were thorns in the way. There were old things that we didn't want to put away. There were things that we thought we could continue to entertain and to compromise with and didn't realize that those were thorns working in our lives and therefore crowding out the ability of the word to be fruitful in our lives. So it becometh here is prepo, P-R-E-P-O. And in it, Jesus was admonishing John for resisting baptizing him and feeling unworthy. So these words, this prepo, openly rebukes our hesitancy. Because that's what Jesus used to openly rebuke John. John, it becometh us, it prepo us to fulfill all righteousness. Prepo is a verb, and it signifies being liable, listen to this, to rise conspicuously, to rise when destined, and it speaks of personal participation. It's not a corporate word. It becometh us. It makes it personal. It implies a God-ordered, appointed, moving to do what we know he already made, hear this, this is what prepo means, made right and fit for us to sufficiently move in to go accomplish when? Now. I don't feel like it. I don't see the way. But it becometh me to do it. That was why Mary, as a virgin, even though she couldn't understand how it was that she, as a virgin, was going to have a child, when they say that this child is going to become my Savior, my God, I don't understand it, but Lord, be it unto me, or cause it to becometh me, as it becometh your word. So when we line ourselves up, if we learn how to connect all these signs that are telling us, if we just line ourselves up with the Word, even when I don't see no way, the Word has already made the way. It just needs us as a vehicle to carry it. So that as we go forth, wrapping up that Word, and I don't see how, God, but okay, then God is free to cause it to happen, to establish it as so, to come to pass in our lives. The revelatory with prepo is the predicate of this concept, because it says God makes every step fit those he releases and sends to accomplish, and he strengthens to press and even to prosper. How? By his grace, working all things together so he can use us as his signs. The other word for signs is his shoes. You see that more often in the Word than you do signs. His shoes. He sends you to be his shoe, to be his evidence, his signifier, his indicator. These are things important for us to understand, because if we do, we can more easily connect how these spiritual signs all around us connect to me. What's my part in all this? How does it affect little old me? What can I do? I don't have all of these gifts. I'm not a Moses. But God's not looking for a Moses or a Jonas. He's got those. But he's also, like he told Elijah, I got 7,000 more just like you right here in this city. You're thinking, I'm the only one you got, Lord? No. But I need you to do what it becometh you to do. Because God, in working all things out together, he gives us pieces of the puzzle to walk out, to live out, as we're destined to distinctively do, to make a difference. Prepo also speaks to those destined to be his shoes or signs, appointed to go be or do as much as to stick and stay, to remain with, in order to clearly be seen as, listen, towering above others. That's what God wants us to do, to be seen as towering above others so that they can see the Spirit, not see my flesh. See, that's why he uses those that are less than. Because if you are able to do that, people look at you and say, that had to be God, because I knew him when, and he was never like that, or she never talked like that. That's got to be God. And that's why he causes us to do that. So it speaks to us being destined to be his shoes and signs, and it also signifies what God requires is comely. I like this part. We need to see what God requires of us as prepo, as comely, as attractive, as spiritually attractive, as a desirable thing to do, knowing that he's destined anything that he requires in me. So he's shaped it. He's filled us with whatever we need. He's equipped us with whatever is distinctively his prepo, suitable, proper, fit, and more importantly, God ordained. So absolutely right. Prepo. It becometh us. Prepo. There's another becometh. There's three of them altogether that were used that are significant in this study. And the second one is in Mark 4:19. And it is genomai. That there signifies it becometh, means excites, generates, causes to now be assembled, to make befall, or continue to be so, to come into greater being, meant to either draw, divide, or bring to pass, be it good, bad, or ugly. The revelatory predicate here is the it, which is genomying, for it seems to signify God's word being caused to do what it says it cannot. Because again, I'm referring to the parable of the sower in Mark 4:19, because it says that the word, if we allow these thorns to come in, it causes the word to be choked, to be suffocated, right? Choked and unfruitful. That choke means strangled completely, literally drowned out, or crowded out by the throngs of thorns we allowed in. People in our lives can be thorns. Our duties at work can be thorns. The bills we get in the mail can be thorns. The cares of life can be thorns. The cares in our relationship, familial responsibilities, you know, all of those things can choke that word in us, can drown it out so that we don't hear the word wooing us because it speaks in a still small voice. Thorns scream at you. Thorns push and pull you and pull you and prod you and, you know, they stick you. You know, they have stickers on them. They're uncomfortable. They make you uncomfortable. Whereas the word comes to reside. Therefore, it fills the heart in places that you can't see. Unfruitful, on the other hand, means that the word seems to become barren. Seems to be unable to be viable within us. And so when we still desire, entertain, and compromise, or sadly delight in those things of the world that are like riches, that are termed to be thorns, when we still want to be with those things or desire those things, when we know God has said deny ourselves, what happens is we defile our good ground. We taint our good ground. That's what the unfruitful is. It's just like you having a garden and you allow something to spill over, toxic, to spill over into that garden, even though the seed is good. The ground around it becomes defiled. What this speaks of, connect the sign. The one thing that Daniel purposed in his heart to do when he was first introduced into captivity, the word says he purposed in his heart not to be made to defile himself. I can't help where you are. I can't help what it is you want to give me, but I can help whether I defile myself by it. They wanted to change his name so that the name would make him effeminate, that it would disgrace his relationship with his God. So they changed his name to Belshazzar, which meant lady, you must serve this king. Whereas his name as Daniel meant God is my king, God is my ruler, God is my judge. So they tried to use his name to defile his good ground. It could not unless we accept that change. Daniel never accepted the change. All throughout the book of Daniel, even though they changed his name, he always would refer to himself as what? I, Daniel. You have to remind yourself. You have to connect those signs. I might be in captivity, but I, Daniel, am here in the name of the Lord. I, Daniel, will pray three times a day. Whatever it is that it becometh you to do, whatever it is that God put in your heart to do, that's what you have to remind yourself of. Otherwise, the thorns will crowd you out. Finally, Jeremiah implies we continue tolerating, entertaining such spiritual thorns, and when we do, we compromise with them and enable them to reappear at will. So even if it seems like something in the word sparks a strengthening and gives us hope, and we get up and we say, you know, I'm not going to do that again. If you continue tolerating or entertaining and don't cast aside those spiritual thorns, they will reappear again. It's the same way as root of bitterness. You know, you just chop off the top, but you never pull out the root. It's going to reappear. And when it does, it's going to trouble not only you, but everybody around you. That's what happens with Jenobi. Finally, There is Philippians 1:27 through 29, which talks about, let your conversation, which are our lifestyles, be as it becometh the gospel. Paul said, it becometh you to do so, whether I come and see you or I'm absent. We have to learn to live upright before God, knowing He sees all. There's no such thing as just being saved when we go to church. There's no such thing as me obeying the word because my pastor's in front of me or because I got to go and sing in the choir today. So I'm going to clean myself up and go do my thing. No, what we need to understand is my conversation is my lifestyle. It's by our conversation or our lifestyle that unsaved people in our lives hear that conversation, see that conversation, see that lifestyle, and connect the signs that it leads to a better way, that they don't have to be stuck, overtaken in faults, with no hope to ever be able to be changed. Paul said in Philippians 1:27 through 29, he said, when you do this, when you live upright, no matter who is seeing you, when you stand fast in one spirit with one mind together and connect those signs of faith in the gospel, when you do that, nothing will terrify you. No matter what's going on around you, when you see all these adversarial signs, which are tokens of perdition or evil, it simply becometh you to connect those signs that be of salvation. In other words, reject those things that say to you, alas, alas, all hope is gone and the world is going to hell in the handbasket. I'm not going to hell in the handbasket. I'm not going to connect those signs that you won't take me down that dark road. What I need to do is connect those signs that I know be of God. And that's what Philippians 1:27-29 is telling us. This it becometh us as axios is. It means we must live life worthily as we discern it. Living by the signs of the gospel, we take time and invest ourselves in connecting. So we live to be examples, godly examples of, that people clearly see. Are signifiers that there's more to life than this. Let us live to be the signs that God has set in the earth to be seen in just such a time as this, so that men will look unto God as the answer. God bless you, and may you grow in grace and live in peace.
Well, this concludes today's edition of the Woman of the Word Revelatory Points of Power. But don't despair, just selah for a moment, for there's yet more to come. In the meantime, if you would like additional information or to contact us, please log on to the website at www.draudreyakinsministries.com. Until next time, we pray that in all you're getting, you get it understanding, so that you too can be empowered and transformed by the renewing of your mind. This segment is produced by Creative Impact LLC with all rights reserved.